Blog Talk Radio.
Check one, check two. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Buffalo Water Cooler Sports Talk radio station here on your number one location for all things Buffalo sports. This is the Buffalo Water Cooler on Trenton White Sports Media. Welcome. This is G Money, your host here for Buffalo Bills post game. Thank you for joining me. Bills win 14-13. Over the Tennessee Titans. It was a good game in the fourth quarter. I'll tell you that right now. It was a good game in the fourth quarter, but let me tell you something right now. Buffalo Bills pulled out a big win on the road in the AFC. I don't care if Marcus Mariota is a rookie. It's a good win on the road against an AFC opponent. That is nothing but positive for the Buffalo Bills going forward for the season. Next thing I'm going to tell you, call out Buffalo Bills fans. All you Buffalo Bills fans who are talking nothing but negative about this team and about this game right now. I'm calling out all of you idiot Bills fans. Take nothing but negative from the defensive play of the Bills today, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. This Bills defense played incredible today. They held the Titans to 13 points today. 13 in four quarters. Yes, the Bills offense did not play well for three quarters. They did not. but the Bills held them to 276 yards of total offense. 276. 179 passing, 97 rushing. And let's also talk about the time of possession, hugely in the favor of the Tennessee Titans. Titans had 35 minutes, 31 seconds of time of possession. That means the Bills' defense was on the field for over half of the game, and they held the Titans to 13 points and under 300 yards of offense. So all you dumb, ignorant Bills fans out there who are chastising the Bills' defense for playing horribly should be ashamed of yourselves. Because the Bills' D did a great job today because the offense was not good for three quarters. Not good at all. The Bills held down the fort on defense, kept the Titans in check, kept the game in the first half to a 3-0 game that could have easily been 21-3, 21-0. It could have easily been that, but it wasn't. Bills made key stops when they should have made key stops, and they came out with the win because this was a win solely on the shoulders of the defense and Tyrod Taylor. Because Taylor, he'll admit it first and foremost, he did not play well for three quarters of the game. But fourth quarter came around, threw the offense on his back and said, let's go. Let's go. Because the defense has been playing their asses off for three and a half quarters. And they did the same thing when it mattered. The last drive for the Titans, what does Gilmore do? Interception. Defensive line got pressure on Mariota, causes him to throw the ball sooner than he wanted to. Gilmore made a play on the ball. Plain and simple. Can't get much easier than that. Gilmore had four passes defensed in the league, and he still leads the league in passes defensed. Darby, you didn't hear his name called a lot, but that's not really a bad thing when it comes to a cornerback. Usually when cornerbacks have their names called, it's a bad thing. You got one of the best cornerback combos in the league. Defensive line played great. While they didn't get a lot of pressure in the first half, they didn't need to. Because linebackers were playing good, flying after the ball. Defensive backfield played great. Corey Graham played excellent today. Big hits all over the field. And let's not forget Gilmore and Darby, who once again played almost a flawless game. And these guys continue to get better. And I'm not saying the Bills are going to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. The beginning of this season, the goal, everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, the goal is a Super Bowl for every team. Yeah, sure. Okay. You're going to say that. It's just to appease the fans. But that's not the case. The goal for the Buffalo Bills was to make the playoffs first and foremost because they haven't done it in 15 years. And this defense continues to show that they can stop teams when it matters. All right? With the exception of last week against the Giants when they gave up that 50-yard touchdown to Rashad Jennings. Sure, okay. That was last week. Out of sight, out of mind. That's in the past. Can't do anything about it. And sure, there were some sloppy plays. There's gonna be sloppy plays every game. The longest play for the Titans was a 23-yard scramble by Mariota. Every defense gives up 20-plus yard gains or plays. Every defense does that. So you're going to tell me that they don't do that? I'm going to call you a liar. Defense held another team under 300 yards of total offense. Isn't that the staple? Isn't that like the goal of every defense is to hold another team under 300 yards? I mean, because even teams like the Jaguars or the Buccaneers or the Raiders, I mean, they can get 300 yards on people. The Browns did it today against the Ravens defense. Held another team under 100 yards rushing. Held Mariota under 200 yards passing. They were on the field for over 35 minutes, and they still held another team's offense up for under 15 points. 13 points by the Tennessee Titans. How can you hate that? How can you hate that? And yes, the Bills' offense did not look good. But guess what, people? And you're going to say, oh, all they have is Arakpo on Tennessee's defense. They got a lot of good players in there. I can't name them all because, you know, they're pretty much unknown. But guess who they have as defensive coordinator? Dick LeBeau, one of the best defensive coordinators in the entire NFL. One of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL. There's no reason not to hate that. Yes, the Bills struggled on offense. But you know what this looked like? It looked like a typical road game in the NFL. You're not going to see that. You're not going to see 30-plus points on the road in the NFL against a good defense, against a very good defensive coordinator who knows how to exploit your weaknesses. Good for years in Pittsburgh, Dick LeBeau. Years. So everybody's going to get down on the Bills because they struggle against a Dick LeBeau defense. I'm going to say, go jump off a bridge. That's what I'm going to say. Because you know what? If you're going to hate on that, then you shouldn't be. You don't deserve to be a Bills fan. Sorry. And I just can't stand the amount of misinformed, dumb, ignorant Bills fans in this town. You got to look beyond the surface and see what actually mattered, which was the fourth quarter. Yes, they struggled for three quarters, but look at the fourth quarter. Look what they did in the fourth quarter when it mattered. Tyrod Taylor was great in the fourth quarter. Drove them down there for two scores. Mattered. And even though the defense was on the field for over 35 minutes, they came up big at the end of the game with under 2 minutes to go. Got the critical turnover with a minute 30 left, and they won the game today for the Bills. So for those of you to be down on the Bills, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself. And for those of you who keep saying this, I am embarrassed to call myself a Bills fan and to be associated with Bills fans like you. Because as far as I'm concerned, you have no clue what you're talking about if you think the defense played badly because they were on the field so long. You know, being on the field for over 35 minutes and holding a team to 13 points is pretty goddamn good in my opinion. So let's talk about this, fans. Let's talk about it. 646-915-9969. Bills beat the Titans 14-13 in a defensive struggle. And I'd just like to thank our sponsors, Coca-Cola and Paula's Donuts, for helping us out every week like they always do. They are great. And right now I got new analysts on the line. We got the kid. Brandon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, G-Money?
Not too bad, man. Just talking Bills, 14-13 over the Titans. Defensive struggle. I think the defense played fantastic, given that they were on the field for over 35 minutes, held the Titans to under 300 yards offense, held the Titans to only 13 points. And let me tell you something, kid. We got Bills fans out there that are saying that the Bills defense still isn't good, even though they were on the field for over half the game and held the Titans offense, who was top 10 in scoring in the league, to under 13 points, under 20 points, held them to 13 points. I mean, I just think that's asinine in my opinion. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely absurd. I want them to have an argument for how the Bills played bad defense today. I think they played lights out, aside from maybe the touchdown drive, which Mariota gets put up in the 39 on the Bills' side of the field, and it's hard to stop anybody if they get that close to the end zone. And holding them two field goals and held that offense down, that the Bills' defense played bad today. I thought they played lights out today.
And I completely agree, but, I mean, you got people calling in to, you know, our local station in Buffalo, you know, on the AM radio on 550. They're calling in saying, oh, I wish they would have made a couple of tackles. Every defense is going to miss tackles. I mean, you're talking about in the first quarter when Preston Brown missed that tackle on Sankey when he had his 20-some-yard run. You know, he had like 20-yard run. The longest play that the Titans had was a 23-yard scramble by Mariota today. That's the longest play they had. And I'm trying to make the case that every single defense gives up 20-plus yard gains every single game. What matters is when it comes down in the fourth quarter, you got to make those critical stops, and they did that today.
Yeah, I think they played absolutely outstanding in the fourth quarter when they really needed to. They stepped up big when they needed to. And, I mean, they let up, what, two plays today over 20 yards? I want to see the regular season, like the rest of the season, how many 20-plus yard plays they let up. And I bet you it's up there with the best defenses in the league. So, I'm like you said before, I'm sick of these Bills fans calling themselves Bills fans and always complaining about things that they don't know what they're talking about because – our defense played outstanding today like they have all season, but again, they're the ones that get criticized.
Well, it's because when they give up a play, and I completely agree with you, kid, when they give up a play, you know, everybody puts, you know, the blame on them, but guess what? Let's talk about the cornerbacks real quick. You got Darby and Gilmore. Gilmore had four passes defensed again today. He leads the league in that and made a play on the ball at the end of the game on that interception to close it out, which was absolutely beautiful. He wasn't even covering that guy. He wasn't even covering him, all right? He broke off his route, saw the ball, went up and attacked it. I think that was an excellent play. What do you think about the cornerbacks' play today?
I think they absolutely played outstanding because the one, I think it was a third down or a second down on the drive before that where they were driving down to kick the go-ahead field goal, and Darby hit a pass defended. And then that break on the ball is probably the best play I've ever seen Stephon Gilmore make because if he doesn't make that play, if he doesn't like disengage off his receiver and come make that play, I think that Kendall Wright just has another 40 yards to run if he gets by, I think it was Roby on the coverage.
Yeah.
And he had
yeah.
him beat, and the pass was going right there. And Gilmore stopped on his route, stopped on his man, came back, attacked the ball, like you said, and basically sealed the game. So these two cornerbacks, I think, are playing better than any other cornerback tandem. You can put up Revis and Cromartie. You can put up Sherman and the rest of the Seahawks defenders. I mean, Peterson and whoever they got on the other side. But Darby and Gilmore are playing better than any cornerback tandem in the league right now.
And let's talk about real quick, I completely agree with you, let's talk about the play of the safeties, but one safety in particular is Corey Graham. This guy was a man possessed today. He was all over the field, you know, big shots, defending balls, covering linebackers, covering wideouts. This guy was all over the field, and I think, you know, some of the other sports analysts on the other station say that Gilmore was the best player today. I'm tough to argue with that because of his four passes defensed and his interception. But I think Gilmore's right there with the number one, you know, player for the game on defense. I think he played a phenomenal game at free safety today. What are your thoughts there?
I think his instincts really showed up, and people have been. I've talked to people, and people complain about his game and how he's not the right fit for free safety. But his instincts were impeccable today. One of the plays where they had an under route on third down, it was like third and six, and he just flies to the ball and makes a tackle 3 yards short of what could have been a first down. I think his instincts showed today in veteran leadership, and he really played, like you said, like a man possessed back there, and he was all over the football field making tackles on the left side, making tackles on the right side. It seemed like he was never caught out of position, and it really showed that he is stepping up in the back end of that defense when you have Aaron Williams go down early in the game, and then he's right there and he's helping out Duke Williams in his coverage, and then he's also responsible for his man. I think the Titans have really good tight ends, and Corey Graham basically covered them all day, and you didn't hear much from them. So if your name isn't mentioned a lot, which it kind of was for Corey Graham, but if it isn't mentioned a lot, that means you're doing a heck of a good job covering your guy because they're not getting passes thrown their way.
And let's just go over the stats here real quick. The rushing leaders for the Titans was Mariota. He had 47 yards and 5 carries. So, I mean, they pretty much shut down the run game there. I mean, you can say Sankey had a few good runs, but that was about it. Their leading receiver was Andrews with 45 yards and 3 receptions. That's one of their other tight ends because Delaney Walker went out, you know, in the third quarter there with a big hit. But there's really nothing you can say about this defense that is negative. There really isn't. I mean, 13 points, are you kidding me? I have no real gripe at all about their defense. Holding a quarterback under 200 yards, holding rushing under 100. Like I said, for the Bills fans that are – because this drives me nuts, kid. This drives me absolutely nuts because there's so many Bills fans in this town that are so stupid that only look at the surface and don't look beneath the surface to actually see what the numbers actually mean and to actually go in and actually, you know, analyze it. Because they see a bad play and they say, oh, that's a bad play. That means the Bills were bad the entire game. And that's what I can't stand about most of the football fans in this town because they're misinformed. I just can't stand it.
I can't stand when people mention how our D-line is so overpaid because – today, I feel like they earned their paychecks for their game because I think all four of them played outstanding. Some of the runs that Tennessee had that went for maybe 10, 12 yards, you see Mario Williams go right in the backfield, and if he does make that tackle, that's a four-yard loss, but he pushes them inside. Granted, our linebackers were caught out of position a lot today, but Kyle Williams had a sack. Marcel Darius had the big hit on Mariota on that interception to Stephon Gilmore to seal the game. Jerry Hughes was all over the field. There wasn't one bad player on our line today, and I just get sick of people who just go, oh, well, our D-line is overpaid, and what are we paying these guys for? Because the offenses make adjustments, and it happened last week against the Giants, and they're just like, oh, well, where was Mario Williams? Where are the plays that he's making? He's getting all this money. But the offense is adjusting, so what I felt like the Bills' defense did today was adjust and play to their strengths. And it really showed today about how good their defensive line is and how good their back end is and how good this defense could be if they can just make those correct adjustments and fix the costly penalties that they had 1 week ago. But this defense could be right up there with the top three in the league, I believe.
Absolutely. And you look, too, even last week, and we can go over that, you know, real quick. Marcel Darius said himself last week after the game, he said, Eli Manning was getting the ball out so quick, he was getting it out in under 2 seconds. He said, you could put a garbage can on the field, and I couldn't get around it in 2 seconds. I mean, there's no defense against a quarterback getting a ball out that quick. You can't get there in less than 2 seconds. It's just not possible. I don't know a defensive lineman in the league that can do that.
What I was going to say was, if I'm correct, like, their rush defense was really good last week, too, because – Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams, granted from like a couple like big runs like they did this week, maybe 10-plus runs like twice, they were shutting them down all game. It's just one of the plays, Rashad Jennings breaks tackle from Preston or Nigel Bradham and goes the distance. Other than that, I felt like our rush defense was really good, and then people just like complained, oh, well, what are we paying these guys for? Eli Manning was just what Tom Brady did. He obviously watched the film of what Tom Brady did and just was taking one-step drops and just firing them on these quick passes. And I think that was the game plan for Mariota today, but I feel like our defense played so much tighter coverage on the outside that it was harder for him to just get rid of the ball quick. And he had to hold on for it for that one extra second. And our defensive line is good enough to get after him that quickly.
Sure. Absolutely. And let's flip to the other side of the ball. And don't get me wrong, it was a struggle for the offense for most of the game. But what I was saying before you came on here, kid, was that it's a Dick LeBeau coach defense. I mean, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the league. How good was he in Pittsburgh for years, for over 10 years? He was great for them. Excellent. And this was a defensive struggle this game. And for the people to say, oh, the Bills only put up 14 points, they won by 1 point. Yeah, well, they were favored by a point, but is the NFL supposed to be easy? No. You have geniuses on each team that will scheme against your team to, you know, bring out your weaknesses, and they will scheme against that, and they will game plan against that. I mean, for people to think that the Bills going in, just because Rex Ryan is their coach and going into each game thinking that it's going to be easy, I just think they're ignorant. I mean, this Titans defense is very good, and they have an excellent defensive coordinator. And you know what? The Bills kept fighting. They kept fighting. Yes, they had lots of three and outs, but you know what? In the fourth quarter, when it mattered, Tyrod Taylor took that team on his back and said, I got this. And he did that. He did that.
Yeah, I might get a lot of flack for this, but he plays like Tim Tebow of old. And when the pressure's on, he just steps up. It's frustrating watching the first three quarters because you know what kind of talent he has. You know what he can bring to the table. But it's just frustrating as a Bills fan, and I can understand some people's frustrations if you don't see him produce the way you want him to. But like you said, they have Dick LeBeau as their defensive coordinator, and many people don't know who else is there on their defensive staff, but they also have Ray Horton, which I believe is one of the best defensive coordinators in the game, if not like up there with Dick LeBeau. So they have two defensive geniuses running that defense with a whole bunch of, I mean, you can say no-name players because we don't really know them and you don't hear about the Titans, but I feel like they have a lot of good players on that defense. And if Casey doesn't go down, I mean, it was early in the fourth quarter or mid-fourth quarter, then I feel like our offense is going to still struggle because he was wreaking havoc all day, and then he just goes down, and then our offense starts producing. But that defense is legit, and that offense is legit, but people are going to be like, oh, well, that's just the Titans, and we should beat them. But they're a good team, and winning in the NFL is not easy, and this is a win that we can be happy about. I just hope that people don't get too excited or too down on us. It was just a solid win, and that's all it was. You move on to Cincinnati next week.
Exactly. And for the people to get too high and to get too low, especially after last week, you know, losing to the Giants, guess what? It's Eli Manning. He has two Super Bowl rings. He beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. You can't turn your nose up at that. I mean, he is a Super Bowl champion, MVP, Super Bowl MVP. You can't knock that. And he played great against the Bills last week. Guess what? Bills came around, turned their game around. Defense played great today. But some people say, you know, I don't know, I've heard today, oh, but Mariota's a rookie quarterback. I don't care. He's a second overall pick. And he's a highly touted prospect coming out of college. Oh, he's a college quarterback. Guess what? He's not a college quarterback anymore. He plays quarterback in the NFL. And he made some nice throws. But guess what? The Bills were better today on defense than the Titans were. It was a defensive game. I just can't stand the mentality of some fans around this area. And we're going to, you know, get rid of this topic in a second because, you know, it'll sound like us beating a dead horse. But good Lord, people just got to be, you know, just got to think positive here. I mean, we haven't been to the playoffs in 15 years. And let's just go. Let's just take this ride. It drives me nuts, man. It drives me insane.
Yeah, I call those people reporters because they just listen to whatever they hear coming from commentary, coming from reporters, and they just try to report it themselves and complain about, find everything that they can about what they like and what they don't like and just, like, regurgitate everything that they hear. And it's really annoying. And they don't watch games like we do, and they don't know football like we do, and they just sit there and they regurgitate information that they hear, and it's just frustrating, and it's hard to be associated with those people that call themselves Bills fans but don't actually know what's going on in the game.
Exactly, exactly. All right, fans, we just had a caller in here, but they hung up. If you guys are looking to call back to talk with G-Money and the Kid, we got 646-915-9969 here on the Buffalo Bills post-game show. Bills over the Titans, 14-13. Once again, that call-in number, 646-915-9969. And that caller with the 619 area code, if you guys want to give us a call back, that'd be awesome. Because we want to hear from you on this Bills win, big road win. Now let's talk about the play real quick, Brandon. Let's talk about the play of Chris Hogan at the end of that game. He made two huge plays, the one for that big gain along the sideline, and then the touchdown grab, which was a low throw by Tyrod Taylor, but he brought that in. He's a guy that's very, very reliable. He's got good hands, you know, runs good routes, can get open. You know, when most receivers can't, I think he's a guy who is a good slot player that can come through in the clutch, and he showed it again today.
Yeah, I feel like he's just a poor man's Julian Edelman or Wes Walker. He is one of those style players that you can always rely on, and he showed it today. He stepped up with Watkins being down. He was the main slot guy because they had Woods on the outside, but he showed up in the fourth quarter. Granted, that was a beautiful throw by Tyrod Taylor right on the outside, but he makes that catch. Some people might drop that, and you can say, oh, they're in the NFL, but some people do drop that in games, and then you're just looking like, well, what the hell happened? But he did make that catch, and then to hold on to that pass in the end zone with the pressure on the third down is remarkable. Like, you can't ask for any more from him, and his competitiveness is unmatched on that team, I believe, because every time he gets a big play, he is always jumping up and just fired up about the play. And I'm glad he's on our team and not facing us, because if other people had him, I feel like he would just be like another Julian Edelman.
Exactly. And he even Hogan made big plays with the Dolphins when he was, with them, a few years ago. And I think he's going to be a big asset going forward. And, let's talk about Tyrod Taylor here real quick. Even though, like you said, he didn't play well through most of the game. And that had a lot to do with what the Titans were doing on defense, the different schemes that they were doing, the coverages, mixing up blitzes and different rushes coming up the middle. But he's going to make some bad plays. It's only his fifth game. But once again, like what he did in the fourth quarter, when it comes down to it and when it's clutch time, when it's crunch time, he's going to make those plays, and he keeps showing that week to week. And there's no reason why anybody should think now that EJ should be the guy. I'm not going to go into another debate with EJ Manuel and Tyrod Taylor, because we all know that Taylor is the quarterback. He's shown it with his legs, shown it with his arm. He's the guy. But there's no – I don't think there's a debate now.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor is the guy. The only critique I would have of Tyrod Taylor is that he needs to – maybe someone needs to talk to him about being more proactive with his throws, because I feel like he is a little shy with throwing into coverage, but because I feel like he has a talent to do it. I just don't know if he has the mentality to do it, and I can't speak because I don't know him and I haven't heard anything from him, but it just seems like he just needs to pull the trigger more on his throws, and I feel like he's getting himself in trouble. He was hit a lot today, and
sure.
I just feel like because he plays not to lose, and when he plays to win, he's remarkable. He's up there with the best of them when it comes to crunch time, because you see him game after game. Every time he's down, he starts making a comeback.
31
so.
Seconds.
Yeah. Oh, we got a caller here on the Buffalo Water Cooler. Sorry, kid. Caller in Buffalo Water Cooler. You're on with G Money and the Kid here on the Bills post game. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I don't think
they know that they're on the radio. Hello. You're on.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, you're on the Buffalo Water Cooler with G Money and the Kid, Bills post game. What's your name?
Jim Brogan.
Hey, Jim Brogan. Where are you calling from?
San Diego.
Well,
I'm in South Buffalo right now,
Exactly. It's Buffalo via San Diego. So what'd you think of the Bills game today?
Well, what I'm telling you is I watched this game with you, and I watched three quarters of it, and I really feel that the Buffalo Bills did nothing on offense or defense. They just went through the motions. There were times where there were a lot of penalties, this and that, and things that actually the start of the game really killed me. But you know what? We won. I got your mother out here, so that's all right. I'm taking care of her.
You guys are insane. So hold on 1 second, crazy South Buffalo people. So I'll agree with you on the offensive side of the ball. Yes, they really didn't do much through three quarters. But I'm going to disagree with you on the defensive side, Uncle Jim. They were on the field for over 35 minutes. They held the Titans to 3 points in the first half, and they held them to 13, the total of the game. I think the defense played great. I think they played great, held them down, held them to 300 yards, under 300 yards offense. You can't ask for more than that.
You expect the Buffalo Bills in the offense
And the defense, don't get me wrong, they played the game very well. But I don't think that the offense has, I know they're hurt, a lot of them are hurt, that they didn't progress the way they should be on the field. And I just feel that they have potential to do more, and they didn't just do anything.
Sure. I'll agree with you there. Kid, go ahead and take that. What's your rebuttal to that statement?
I think he's got a point because you do have to look at the injuries, and it's run through Bills fans throughout forever. But the injuries do hinder the offense, and it does take time to get used to many different moving parts. But it is frustrating watching the Bills and their offense still not produce the way that you feel like it should. But to agree with you, G-Money, the defense played outstanding. You can't ask for any better than that.
You can't. And what we reiterated before Jim came on was that the Bills' offense was playing against one of the best defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL in Dick LeBeau. I mean, he was phenomenal in Pittsburgh. How good were those Pittsburgh defenses for over 10 years when he was the D coordinator there? And he just finds a way to confuse offenses, confuse quarterbacks, and he did that again today. But you know what? Bills came out after the half. Yes, they had a couple three and outs there to start the second half. But they came out, they stuck to their guns, stuck to the run game in the fourth quarter. And what does that do? It softens up the middle of the field, keeps the defense honest, because the Bills really had a couple really good running plays in the beginning of that fourth quarter. And then that opens up not only running lanes for the quarterback, but also throwing lanes. And it showed in the Bills' two drives to win that game. It completely shows that. So, yes, they struggled. They sure did. But there was a very good defense, fast, athletic, great coordinator. But what they did is when it came down to the end, came down to it, clutch, crunch time, they made the plays when it mattered, Uncle Jim. They made plays when it mattered.
I have a question for you.
I'm all ears.
You watched them through three quarters with me, and you watched. Oh, why does it take them three quarters to get off their ass? Excuse me.
It's okay. It's internet radio. It's okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll let the kid take this one in a second, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I think I already answered that question by what I just said. That is a very good defense in Tennessee. That is a very underrated defense. And it's a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator in Dick LeBeau, and you can't deny that. Yes, they had struggles. Yes, this offensive line has only been together for five games. Tyrod Taylor is only his fifth game as the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. You can't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. All right,
yeah, you're right.
The Bills came out and played a defensive struggle against another very good defensive team. And what we were saying, me and the kid were saying earlier, that the Tennessee Titans are a top 10 scoring offense. They score over 30 points a game, and the Bills' defense held them to 13.
You're absolutely right. The Bills took them to the town, and they did what they had to do. I mean, regardless of what happened tonight, they took care of the defense. The Patriots, they had no idea what's going on with the Patriots. When they came down tonight with the Titans, it came down to mano a mano, and it happened. And the Bills took care of it. They took care of it.
They stuck right with them. They stuck right with them.
Yeah, they stuck with them. And they had to do what they had to do tonight, regardless of the hype and everything, because the past game with the New England Patriots was a big hype game. And tonight was they might have felt like it was a practice game, but they expected to win. Yeah, they expected to win. And they had to do what they had to do. And you know what? As a Bills fan, we all sat there and said, all right, well, here we are, 2-2. And now we got to go and go against these guys. And here we go,
Now, Kid, what are your thoughts there? You know, what do you think contributed to the Bills struggling for three quarters and, you know, not really getting the offense going until the fourth quarter? I mean, I know we hit on it earlier, but I just want to be able to answer the, you know, the fans' question here, you know, to their fullest extent.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. I agree with you with the defense and what they did. They controlled the football game for the offense, but I don't think the offense, with the injuries they have not controlled the game as well as they should be.
Right.
Okay. Brandon, what do you think?
I think it's the same thing you said. It's Tyrod Taylor's fifth start. Who I said before, Jarrell Casey was making havoc. He is a really good defensive tackle, and you just got to look at the defense of the Titans. People don't know them because, I mean, the Titans don't get a lot of airtime on national television, but if you look at their defense today, and then I bet you can name a lot more players than you could maybe a week ago because of how many plays they were making all over the field. But this offense is...
Hold on, guys. Let him finish his thought. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, and then the offense, you got to look at Tyrod Taylor. It's his fifth start with a team that he just inherited this offseason. It's not like he's been here 4 years. He was in Baltimore. He hasn't been here for 4 years. He just got here this year. It's not like he's been playing with these same players in practice for 2 years. He's just learning it still. And this is the problem with Bills fans, and I'm not going to say that this is the problem that he's having, but you got to understand, things take time, and this offense will come together. It's just hard with so many moving pieces when you have Booby Dixon as your starting running back. Majority of the time, Boom Heron was back there, and we just signed him this past week. So it's hard to get everything controlled. I bet you that Tyrod Taylor had trouble communicating with Boom Heron on a couple maybe pass protections. But other than that, it's just hard to say that this offense should be better than it is because...
All right, go ahead.
We spent all the money on defense, but there's no way we have an offense. I mean, everybody looked at the Tyrod Taylor as being the savior of the Buffalo Bills, and we spent so much money on the defense, and there's nothing going on. They're supposed to be the top 1% of the defense in the NFL, and they're not living up to their expectations.
Yeah, but what are their expectations, though? I mean, did you think that they did not play good today? I think they played great today.
But they're spending all their money on this defense, which is doing shit.
No, they were good today.
They were good.
I think they were very good today. I don't understand why you don't think they were good today. I mean, they held them under 100 yards rushing. They held them under 200 yards passing. That was scoring going in 30 points a game to 13 points. I mean, I can't ask for too much more.
Are we talking about
today's
game or New England?
New England was 3 weeks ago. I don't. Why would I talk about that?
Who's the big prize? We are.
New England's a different story, too.
Who's won more Super Bowls than the Buffalo Bills?
I don't care. I mean, Tom Brady beats everybody. So that point is moot, in my opinion. Tom Brady beats everybody. So I don't understand why that's a big surprise. I really
and
don't.
Defenses will have bad days.
Yeah.
You look at
it's
Seattle today.
Well, I mean,
if you want to win a championship, you got to beat the best, right?
Well, sure. But the only team that's really beat them when it matters is the Giants, and they did it twice. That's it.
Okay.
I don't understand the point.
Who's the big prize? Who are we after?
The Bills are. You need to make the playoffs first before you can think of anything else.
Exactly.
The Bills haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. You got to make the playoffs.
Who kicked their ass?
The Patriots and the Giants. There you go.
Okay. There you go.
I don't know what the. Okay. Awesome. So.
Yeah. Two teams that have won the Super Bowl in the past. What? 8 years.
Here's my opinion.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
The defense played very well today, and I know the offense itself is in disarray with a lot of the running backs, and they got great running backs, don't get me wrong. But until they get healthy, we're going to struggle on offense. tremendously. And the defense, that is only going to continue to get better, because I have not heard nothing more than from the defense of the Buffalo Bills. I can see it on the field. I think the secondary is weak, and, you know, a little more pressure.
Whoa, the secondary is not weak. It is not weak whatsoever. You got a rookie cornerback in Darby who is second in the league in interceptions, and then you got Gilmore who is first in passes defense in the NFL. They are not a weak secondary.
You didn't let me finish.
You have a bunch of creepy dinos that are lucky.
I said with a little more, you know, get together. These guys are gonna. I see a lot from the Buffalo Bills today from the secondary, and they're a little weak. And I'm gonna tell you this. For a reason.
Could be from San Diego.
No, because, you know, what I've seen this and that from the plays that they had, you know, and I've seen great plays today, a little more get together with the coach and everything else, they're going to be fine. They're coming together. They just got to come together and they'll be fine.
I think they came together today.
I agree, Brandon.
I think they played outstanding.
I think the defense played great. And you can't ask for anything more than what the defense did today. You really can't. To hold the team, and I'm gonna reiterate it because it needs to be reiterated. The Titans coming in were scoring 31 points a game on average, 31 points in their first three games. Bills hold them to 13 points and under 300 yards of offense total.
Right.
How is that not good?
Well, you and I agree today that some of them penalties today were ridiculous.
Well, sure they were, but that's the NFL referees,
yeah,
and there's a
and they
that's
should
a,
have never happened.
Sure, but that's another debate for another segment here. I mean, the NFL referees are garbage. That's another.
And penalties are a part of the game.
Sure they are. But, yeah.
Do you think this week, penalties wise, do you think the Bills are more disciplined than last week when they were out of control?
Yes, I do. They only had, well, if you look at the amount of penalties, they had 17 last week and they only had 9 this week. So I would say, yes, they were. I would say 3 of those should have never been called because they were garbage. You know, the horse collar. Both horse collar penalties were not horse collar penalties. Even the one on Tyrod Taylor was not a horse collar penalty, and the Bills got lucky there. They really did.
Yep.
And that pass interference on Gilmore was a garbage call. And then there was another pass interference call on Graham, which was a garbage call. It's just there's so much gray area there.
Yeah, the defensive receiver one.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much gray area there.
I mean, they won the game tonight. So, in your opinion, what can they improve on? I mean, they're a more disciplined team, actually, with running all their plays and stuff like that. But next week, what can they improve on? In their structure as a team-wise.
Well, I would say defensive-wise, they really don't have anything to improve on because I think it was a pretty damn good game by the defense. But as far as the offense, I think execution of the plays that are called are still an issue. You see a little bit of confusion with the offensive line, especially the interior of the line that has a real problem, you know, covering the gaps that they're supposed to and really taking their man and keeping him to the outside because they're still struggling running the ball. And I think that's one of the areas, especially against a team in the Cincinnati Bengals, who are another team that is very good on defense, that they're going to have to solidify is execution on offense. And they show that in the fourth quarter, but the game is 4 quarters and it's 60 minutes. It's not 15.
So, in the finish tonight, I mean, we all watched the game tonight, and in my opinion, it should have been. I mean, a close game for both of us, I mean, both teams. But do you think the Bills could have, been a better team that could have put more points on the scoreboard instead of so much of a close? It seemed like it was like a boring game. I mean, every set around there, it was a boring game.
That's what's going to happen when you got two good defensive teams, though. That's what's going to happen. And I think if it wasn't for the Bills' defense, and Brandon, back me up here, I think if it wasn't for the Bills' defense, I think the Titans could have won by 2 touchdowns, maybe more.
Yeah,
And what do you think, Brandon?
Like, yeah, if they have any kind of...
Go ahead, Brandon.
If they have any other defense, like mid-level defense, they're not making this comeback. But to go to the offensive struggle and how boring the game was, you got to remember, these are two quarterbacks making their first-year starts in the NFL. It's
yeah,
going to be like this against two of the greatest defensive coordinators in the league.
It almost seems like our defense, like, when it comes down to a play, they like, all right, they try to push forward or whatever and try to block the secondary, but it's almost like they give up on a play. It's almost like they're looking at the friggin' screen waiting for them to be on SportsCenter.
That Rod Taylor's
wait.
Got too many years in the NFL.
No, I'm
He's
talking about
defense.
Wait. We got like two different things going on here. What do you mean that they give up on the play? Because I didn't see that today. I think the Bills were flying around the ball. Their secondary was playing fantastic, including Graham, Darby, and Gilmore. I think they were flying all over the field. You had Preston Brown making plays everywhere in the backfield.
Well, we're talking about the offense. You do a pass play or whatever, a route, and it's all looks like you're like, all right, I'm giving up on whatever it should have been, play.
It's tough when the defense is getting in there in under 3 seconds. What do you expect the players to do when the defense is playing that well on the other side of the ball? I mean, the Bills went up against a very good defense today, but they came out with the win. That should be a positive. We shouldn't be focusing on the negatives here. They went in to Tennessee, played a defensive game, came out with the win, and this is an AFC conference win. That is nothing but a positive in my mind. Yes, the offense struggled. Yes, hold on.
Yeah,
let me finish my point. Let me finish my point.
The Bills were better and defensively and with the flag and everything, that they were more disciplined.
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. They didn't have any personal foul penalties except for the one that Corey Graham, which was garbage. But other than that, a couple of offsides, holding, this and that, that's going to happen every game. It's going to happen every single game. Yes.
Yes. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do you think that the how fast the game went today? Because it was a fast game. You and I agree, right? Do you think that
fast.
Helped the Bills? Did that help them this week? That they played that quick and they got the job done. Not a lot of points, but the defense helped because they stopped them to 13.
Brandon, why don't you take that question? What do you think?
I think it speaks volumes to the conditioning of this defense being out there for so long that they were and how quick it went by, that they were just rapidly playing. Mariota was running no huddle for a majority of the game, and our defense was just outstanding with its conditioning. So I think it did help, and it just speaks volumes to our conditioning, and I think it will help against those types of offenses.
Sure. I think that's a very valid point. And that's a good question. You can't deny the speed of this team. You can't deny the ball pursuit, and you can't deny the ball skills of that backfield. You can't. That they are a superior athletic defense, and they're going to show that as the season goes on. You guys got any other questions before I let you guys go?
Yeah, my question is, what do you think about Mario Williams' play? I mean, he's a big player. He's a big paid player. Mario Williams and the whole front line. I mean, what do you think about what the Buffalo Bills, these guys are playing, paying these guys?
Well, I think it speaks more volumes to other than hearing their name called every other play, because defensive lines, you're not going to hear their name called all the time. What I look at is the way they're able to contain the quarterback in the pocket, and the way they're able to force him to make throws and force him to make his reads quicker than he wants to. Just because they're not hitting the quarterback every single play doesn't mean they're not affecting the play every time, because they are. They're pushing the pocket back. They're making him sidestep, slide back and forth, which is what the quarterback doesn't want to do. Because what the quarterback wants to do is he wants to take a three-step, five-step drop, make his read, step up into the pocket, and make his throws. And with what they were doing with Mariota, they were making him roll out, and they were making him roll to each side, right and left, which he doesn't want to do, because it's much harder to throw the ball when you're rolling right or rolling left. And just because they're not, like I said, just because you're not hearing their name called doesn't mean they're not doing a good job, because they were. Mario Williams and Jerry Hughes were doing a very good job at contain, and that is a defensive end's number one priority, is to contain the pocket.
But don't you think with all the money they spent this year on the offensive line, don't you think they should step up and do their job? And they're not really living up to their expectations. I mean, in the front line, I mean, they're supposed to be the dominant force, and it's not happening.
Expectations.
The offense or defensive line?
Yeah, offense or defense, yeah.
Offense.
Offensive line. Okay, go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't pay them a lot of money. I'm not seeing a lot of big money people on there. I see an seventh round pick last year in Henderson, and you have Cordy Glenn, who may earn his contract this year, but you don't know. You have Eric Wood, who's been here forever. Incognito, who wasn't paid much because he had to earn his way back up into this league. And then you have a rookie in John Miller playing right guard, so I don't feel like they've invested too much in this line, and still gelling together. The only problem I have with the line is that the right side looks like it's just not communicating. I don't know what's going on with the right side of the line, but it's not communicating as effective as it should. And you saw it with Henderson. He was just – he looked a little lost out there, and so did Miller. But at the end of the day, they protected Tyrod Taylor on the last couple of drives, and he got the ball out and got the two scoring plays. So.
Sure. That has to come with growing pains, though, because that right side of that offensive line is very young. Chanterelle Henderson was drafted last year. He started as a rookie last year. It's just only his second year in the league. Like I said, John Miller, a rookie guard. Even though he was very good, coming out of college, he's still a rookie. And one of the hardest positions to play in the league is tackle. And Cordy Glenn and Chanterelle Henderson are they're gonna come around. Glenn is a little bit more seasoned than Chanterelle Henderson is, but Henderson's gonna come around. He's gonna learn his craft. That's one of the hardest positions to learn.
I gotta ask you one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who's coming up? We got Cincinnati or Jacksonville?
Cincinnati first.
Cincinnati first.
Yeah.
We're going to Cincinnati, right?
No, it's a home game.
Yeah, Cincinnati is at
home. Cincinnati. This is what we got to do. Everybody's got to come together. The offensive line, no one's clicking right now. You got ins and outs. I've seen every coach on the other side of the ball is looking for flaws in the system. And they see something in the Buffalo Bills system on the offensive line where the defense can come forward or backward, and they can pick at it. And that's what after since the first game against Indianapolis, these coaches have been coming back and forth and looking at this defense back and forth, looking at the flaws in the system. Since then, everybody in the front four of the offense and the defense of other teams have been looking at the Buffalo Bills offense to be killing them, because they can see the flaws in the front four in the Buffalo Bills offense. This is where they got to control the problem, take care of it, move people around, and just start exploding.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. There's still a lot of work there on the offensive line. There's no doubt. They're not running the ball anywhere near the effectiveness that we thought they were going to run the ball. Granted, Carlos Williams is out with a concussion. Shady McCoy is out, with his hamstring injury. But, I mean, once those guys are healthy, I think you're going to see a different offense. What they have to do until then to put a patchwork running game together and just kind of work through it. They got to fight through it, and that's what they did today. The defense kept them in the game. The defense won this game today. That's what the defense has to hold it together.
Yep.
Good job. Jerry, I'll see you later.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, guys. All right, Brandon, sorry about that. That was my relatives from South Buffalo.
That's fine.
They get a little excited about the Bills games, and it sounds like they have been drinking a little bit, so that's fine. But, hey,
yeah.
I mean, they had a couple of good points, but I really don't think they really could, bring their thoughts together, because, some people, when they call the phone line, they kind of are scatterbrained. But we appreciate them coming on. Real quick, I'm just going to go over some scores here, Brandon. Real quick, from earlier games, The Bears beat the Chiefs, which was kind of shocking, 18-17 today. Bengals over the Seahawks, 27-14 in overtime. Falcons beat the Redskins in overtime, 25-19. Tampa Bay beats the Jaguars, 38-31. Eagles finally came to their senses, beat the Saints, 39-17. Big game there for the Eagles offense. Browns, shocker in overtime, 33-30 over the Ravens. Packers do what they do, 24-10 over the Rams. Cardinals beat up on the Lions, 42-17. Patriots, 30. Cowboys, 6. And then the Broncos beat the Raiders, 16-10. So let's move away from the Bills here real quick, Brandon. And out of all the games that you watched today, you saw the scores, saw the stats, what game, I'm going to put you on the spot here, what game really stuck out to you, you know, that was kind of interesting to you today? I mean, you can mention one game, two games, but first of all, what game really stuck out to you today?
This, the Cincinnati, the Seattle game.
Okay, and why is that?
Because you look at a Cincinnati team, they've always had their doubters of if they can rise to the occasion on the big stage against the big team. And they had a big-time opponent today. Granted, they didn't have Marshawn Lynch on offense for the Seahawks, but they got beat up early. And the fight that Andy Dalton showed in the fourth quarter, just like Tyrod Taylor, really proved that he is continuously improving. And I feel like that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be probably the toughest opponent aside from the Patriots that we face all year, because they're probably one of the best well-rounded football teams in the NFL, and they are loaded with weapons on offense, and their defense is solid, and they have experience with this kind of stuff. So to get that win the way they did, to fight back from, I think it was like 21-7 in the third quarter, they fought back. It was huge for Cincinnati, and it was a really entertaining game to watch.
Yeah, it really was. Before the fourth quarter started, it was 24-7 Seattle. And to come back and play like they did, they held the Seahawks scoreless in the fourth quarter. So to do that, I think, was a big accomplishment. And like you said, yes, definitely. I'll agree with you here. I think Andy Dalton played very well, threw the ball 44 times today, completed 30 of them, 331 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Giovanni Bernard contributed to the offense today with 80 yards on 15 carries. Tyler Eifert, 8 receptions, 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. And let's talk about him real quick. I think to have a tight end that's as athletic as Eifert, I think it's a huge weapon for an offense like the Bengals, because first and foremost, you're looking to really negate A.J. Green out of that offense first and foremost. And to have a guy who's as athletic and as dangerous coming up the seam in the middle of the field as Eifert, I think they got a real good thing there with him.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference they've had that they have this year rather than past years. And that's why it's a scary team when it comes to playoff time, because they have Eifert. They didn't have him last year. He was out due to injury, but now they do have him, and he is proving that he is going to be a top five tight end in this league. And Andy Dalton has found his new favorite target aside from AJ Green. And it's really pick your poison on that if you're playing defense against them now, because then they have probably the two best running back combo in the NFL with Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill. And you just look at that team and you go, what do I stop first? Because if you're going to stop A.J. Green, you got the running backs out of the backfield and Tyler Eifert work in the middle. And it just makes it so much more dangerous with play action with the running game the way it is. And I feel like Tyler Eifert thrives that way. And it's just going to be a high productive offense throughout the rest of the year.
Definitely. And let's talk about another two teams that are in the AFC Central. Real clash against the Browns and the Ravens, you know, two teams that are really closely linked in their history. Obviously, you know, the Ravens were the old Browns. You know, now we got the new Browns beating the Ravens 33-30. McCown played, I think, a very good game today. Didn't turn the ball over at all. Was 36 of 51 for 457 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, what the hell is going on with the Ravens? I mean, they're supposed to be, first and foremost, a defensive stalwart, and they just do not look good at all. Yeah, granted, you got, you know, their top linebacker out, but good Lord, I mean, who else do they have there? They're not stopping anybody now.
Yeah, their cornerbacks are being exposed. I thought they had really good cornerbacks, but it seems like they were just the product of that defense, and I think it speaks volumes to Terrell Suggs' leadership, because that defense is struggling against offensive teams that they should honestly be bullying. So it's just hard to blame one guy. As Terrell Suggs is the reason why they're not doing as well as they should, but mm-hmm. when he went out, because they played a strong game against Denver week one before he went out. But after that, it just seems like their defense has just been out of sync, without guidance, and it's hard to win football games when your defense is playing like the way they are. And to Josh McCown, he's playing as well as any quarterback right now. It's the first time in the Browns' history that a quarterback has gone for 300-plus yards in the last three consecutive games. And I think that whole Johnny start and the way that he played really motivated Josh McCown these past couple of games to play as well as he has.
Sure. I'll definitely agree with that. I think he's playing great football. He's making good reads. You know, he's got some good zip on his passes. Really throwing the ball with accuracy, timing. And let's talk about the AFC Central here. It's not the same division as it used to be. Yeah, you got Cincinnati up there at 5-0, but you got the Steelers team 2-2. Roethlisberger's probably going to be out for maybe another month. Cleveland's 2-3. Sure, I mean, they look like an up-and-coming team, but I don't think they're really going to challenge the Bengals for the division championship. And Baltimore at 1-4, I think they're pretty much done. I mean, next week you got the Steelers going up against the Cardinals team that just looks like a force at 4-1. I mean, I really think that this is the Bengals' division to lose.
Yeah, I don't see any of the other teams making a run, which is surprising, because we're so used to having the Steelers and the Ravens always battling out for the top spot, and then the Bengals basically being the third team. But now it's just the Bengals are the powerhouse. I don't see Pittsburgh winning many more games without Ben Roethlisberger, and I feel like they're just going to dig themselves into a hole they won't be able to climb out of, with Cincinnati coming to Buffalo next week in a game that they could win and probably are going to be favored to win, even though it is a home game for Buffalo. But Cincinnati is a scary team, and if they don't win the AFC North, then I will be extremely shocked.
I will too, and I really don't think there's any reason to think that the Bengals won't be favored next week against the Bills. We got a shout-out here. Thank you for the fans from Marbeth Court in South Buffalo for coming on. We appreciate it. They keep texting me, telling me to, you know, prop it up. South Buffalo roots. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for coming on. They had a good time, so I appreciate them coming on. And it's always good to have fans. It's fun. Let's real quick, moving on from the AFC Central, another division that's a little bit, you know, confusing to, you know, to really gauge, other than the Arizona Cardinals, that's the NFC West. Because we really don't know what we have there. I mean, Seattle lost today. San Francisco's losing right now, 10-3 to the Giants. I mean, it's pretty safe to say San Francisco's probably going to lose that game. They're not the team they were a few years ago. Giants look tough. St. Louis, who knows what you have there? I mean, one week they're good, one week they're not. You know, they lose 24-10 to the Packers today. Arizona's division to win there, I think. What are your thoughts there?
I think it's Arizona's conference to lose. I think they're the favorites in the NFC, because I don't really see anybody other than maybe the Falcons pushing for them. I know Carolina's 4-0, but I feel like the games will catch up to them and they'll start losing a couple. But Arizona is as good as a team that I've seen in the NFL this year, and I just keep telling people it's my favorite probably to win the Super Bowl, because with Carson Palmer healthy, it seems like the offense is a juggernaut. Their defense will always be good with the talent they have back there with Peterson and Matthew and all those guys. But they're just a well-built and well-coached team. Bruce Arians, one of the best coaches in the NFL, got head coach of the year when he was in the stand-in for Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis. And Seattle could be 1-4 right now. They are 2-3, and they're fortunate to be 2-3 with the Detroit game going the way it did last week. But they're fortunate to be 2-3, but I don't see them making a comeback for Arizona, because Arizona with Carson Palmer is probably top three team in the league.
Sure, and what I wouldn't do, though, I would not discredit and discount Green Bay. I even though their defense is more of a middle-of-the-road defense, you still, I mean, they still got Aaron Rodgers. They still got a ton of weapons on that side, you know, with James Jones and Eddie Lacy and, you know, guys like that. You can't – great quarterbacks, you know, you really can't discount those guys.
Yeah, any team that has a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you can always put into the mix. The only thing is I want to know how healthy the Green Bay Packers can stay. I always look at their team, and I always see someone else get banged up. It's Eddie Lacy. It's Randall Cobb in training camp. It's Jordy Nelson tearing his ACL. It's just – but the Packers do a great job, and I'm giving props to what the Patriots do. They just reload and refire, because whoever they have in there, they produce, and – it just seems like that team is going to be up there with the best of them. But I just think that Arizona is way too strong of a well-coached team and like a well-rounded team, because they have great players on all three phases of the ball. And it's just kind of hard to argue with that kind of production on Arizona's side.
Absolutely. It's just too bad that, you know, Jordy Nelson – Torres ACL, because how good would that offense be if you got Cobb on one side, you got Jordy Nelson in the other, and you got James Jones in the slot. I mean, that's just a dangerous offense with those three guys on the outside, and not to mention, you know, Lacy and Starks in the backfield. You know, it's just really too bad that guys like that have to get injured, and so you don't see a team's full potential. I just think that offense would be great. It would be phenomenal if you had him in the lineup there. It's just too bad. It really is.
Yeah, no doubt. I would probably have them as my favorites if Jordy Nelson were still to be healthy and Eddie Lacy were continuously healthy.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the AFC West here real quick. And even though the Denver Broncos are 5-0, I still see them as kind of a fraud team, because I really think that they're riding on the backs of their defense, because I don't think that offense is anywhere near what it used to be. I still don't think Peyton Manning is the quarterback he used to be. He's getting by on his guts, on his moxie, you know, and on his experience, you know, in the league. But, you know, if the defense has a bad game, I don't think that offense can come back and win them a game. I mean, what are your thoughts there on the Broncos?
I completely agree. Their defense is absolutely amazing. But if they have a bad day, like the Bills did against the Patriots, I don't see that offense coming back. They have a lot of weapons. And I agree with you. Peyton Manning is just, I feel like, is just getting by on his QB mind and his football intelligence and not so much his talent anymore. And he's not the quarterback he was before injury. But I don't, if we're going to talk about if there's any team to threaten them in the AFC West, I still got to just maybe San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland's like the Rams. You never know what you're going to get with them on any given Sunday. One day, They're beating the Ravens. The next day, they're losing to Chicago, which is relatively a weaker team than most people. Well, most people are on the NFL, but
yeah.
The Broncos, I agree with you, are kind of like a fraud 5-0 team. Just like I said, like the Carolina Panthers, it's just the time will catch up to them, and they'll start losing some games, I believe, and it'll be a lot closer than what people may think in the AFC West.
I agree. I don't think they have the talent to keep up with a team like New England or Cincinnati and even Indianapolis, to be honest. I still think Indianapolis is a better team than they have been playing. I think they have enough talent that can win them another weak division title in the South. But Denver, like you said, if their defense does not come around, you know, if they don't have a good game, I don't think the offense can come around. I really don't. I don't think Peyton Manning can win them a game when it counts if they're down by a couple scores. I really, really don't. We have an update on the score here. Giants and 49ers. Right now the Niners have the ball, 8:50 left in the second quarter. It's still 10-3 Giants. We got a couple minutes left here, Brandon. Just any thoughts, any closing thoughts on the Bills game today and what you saw that kind of stuck out that you want to reiterate for the fans here?
If our defense plays like that, I feel like we could win the rest of the games upcoming on our schedule, but it all hinges mostly on the offense side of the ball. If that offensive line can work as a cohesive unit and Tyrod Taylor can start playing to the talent level that I believe he has and not so much to the, as I said before, like the play not to lose, just making the smart decisions and not really, because he is one of the best arms, I believe, in the NFL, because you saw it on the big play to Chris Hogan, but they really need to find their identity on offense. They need to be more effective in the running game. We were number one in rushing in the league 2 weeks back, but if you look at the yards per carry, it's not that great aside from a couple skewed runs by Carlos Williams. If we are going to be an effective team and make a playoff run, I feel like we've got to get the offensive line and the running game figured out before anything.
Absolutely. Great point. And I think we were hammering that home earlier in the show today. I think that was only really one of the bad parts of the Bills game today was their offensive line play, especially in the first quarter. Did not give Tyrod Taylor a lot of time to sit back there and go through his reads, and look for that open receiver. You saw after the second half, after halftime, they come out in the second half, they made their adjustments. Fourth quarter came around, they were able to protect Tyrod Taylor a little bit better, and you can see what he can do with a clean pocket. And like you said, and I will agree, I mean, he's probably got a top 10 arm in this league. I mean, his accuracy is getting better, his footwork is getting better, his ability to read offenses is getting better, and he's got a power arm, he's got a big time arm, and I think we're only going to see that getting better. Real interesting here, Brandon, is the early line on the Bills-Bengals game next week. It's an even line. It's a pick'em game. Early projections, but that is surprising to me because I would have seen the Bengals at least a 3-point favorite for next week. What do you think there? That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I think they're going to contribute that to it being home field advantage for the Bills. They always give the home field advantage team a little bit more. The other thing is the return of Sammy Watkins. If he does come back, I think that our offense is going to be a lot better. I think it's more important to have Sammy Watkins back than it is LeSean McCoy, because I feel like you get Percy Harvin on the one-on-one matchup on the outside, and that's where he's better. And I feel that Percy Harvin is getting a lot more double-team looks than people maybe even notice, and that's why the offense can't thrive as well as it has the first couple of games. But I feel like people are still sleeping on the Bengals and not giving them the credit that they're due because of that win that happened today. And it wouldn't surprise me if they came out and just blew the Bills off the field because their offense is that talented. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because I think the Bills are just as talented on defense, but it should be a very close game. I just think that the Bengals are the better team, and they probably will win.
All right, so let's segue into that then. I'm going to put you on the spot once again. If you had to pick one, let me know what you think of the winner of the game is going to be next week, because, we always look forward after the Bills are done, with their Sunday game. So, let me know who you think is going to win if you had to pick it and the reasons why.
If I had to pick the game, my heart would tell me the Bills, but my head would probably tell me the Bengals, somewhere around the range of maybe 27-21. I think the Bills would fight back at the end, but I just feel like it's going to be another one of these games where you see the offense struggle for the majority of the game, and I feel like Cincinnati can put up points that maybe Marcus Mariota couldn't against this defense, and Andy Dalton, with those running backs, with those weapons on offense, I feel like he's going to be able to put up enough points for us to just be far enough from a comeback rally in the fourth quarter.
All right. Well, final thoughts here. Let's get those Bills fans away from some negativity and, tell them what you think they need to look forward to with this defense and this team. Because still, even though after a win, man, there's still way too many negative fans out there. So give them something to look positive towards.
Positive things, defensive line played outstanding today, and we have two Pro Bowlers at corner that are still very young. I mean, Gilmore, you can say, is probably I think it's his fourth year in the league or fifth year, something along that. But then Darby's a rookie, and you have two cornerbacks that are playing absolutely lights out. You have Leotis McKelvin coming back soon, and then, I mean, soon as in maybe like 5 weeks, but you're going to have him coming back. But this defense is going to be up there with the best of them, and you're just starting to see it. Mario Williams played outstanding today. He had plays all over the field, and then Jerry Hughes and Marcel Darius and Kyle Williams will all get theirs too. So this defense looks very solid on all three levels.
Excellent. And I agree. I mean, if defense is playing solid every game like they did today, I mean, you're not going to see as dominant of a performance on the defensive side as you did today or against, you know, Indianapolis or Miami. But, hey, it's something to build on. And it's definitely a positive to look for. And the thing that really drives me nuts a little bit is that people look at the money that the defensive line is making and think they should make more plays. But I think they're doing exactly what they should be doing. And if they do more, great. And if they do less, you know, people are going to be all over them. But, you know, if people aren't satisfied unless you're getting 5, 6 sacks, 7 sacks a game, and it's just not going to happen every game. It's just not.
Yeah, they just go back off on stat, like sack numbers. But that interception throw was probably because of Marcel Darius rushing him right in the face. You have the one third down conversion where I think it was Delanie Walker gets the catch, but Mario Williams is jumping over the tight end and getting in Mariota's face and causing a high pass. It's just plays like those that people just look past because they want to see stat. But these, if you had quarterback hurries or if you had those disruptive plays listed in their stats, people wouldn't be complaining about how much money this defensive line is making.
No, exactly. And even on that pass to Delanie Walker, I mean, Mario Williams was able to jump, get his – he actually tipped that pass. I mean, if you look at the slow-mo, he actually got his hands on that ball, which speaks to his athleticism and his athletic ability and his vertical to be able to jump that high to get that ball. I mean, he's a freak athlete. And this defense and the line is only going to get better. It's only going to get better. So you're saying 27-21 Bengals next week?
Yeah, that's if I had to pick a game, if I had to pick the game and pick the score, that's probably what I would go with.
All right, man. Well, hey, well, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I'll be on tomorrow night. You want to talk some more Bills? We'll have a 24 hours to digest what we see in the numbers and the stats. But hey, it was a good show today, man. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, and it was always fun, like always.
All right. Hey, we'll talk to you soon, man. Take it easy.
Yep. You too.
All right, guys, that was the kid, Brandon Freeman, one of our new guys on the Buffalo Water Cooler here on Trenton White Sports. It's a great time. Great time always talking Bills football. And the one thing you guys got to pay attention to is the defense. The defense showed what they can do. They showed their potential today. Didn't show it in the sack numbers. That's not what it's all about. Not in the, you know, strip sacks, you know, fumbles. That's not what it's all about. It's holding a team down that can score over 30 points a game, holding them to 13 points, holding them to under 300 yards of offense. That is a phenomenal job by a defense that is only going to get better. You have two of the best cornerbacks in the league in Darby and Gilmore. You have a safety who is finally healthy in Corey Graham, a free safety who is playing lights out right now at safety. You have linebackers in Nigel Bradham and Preston Brown in the middle who are just flying around all game long, flying after the ball. And there's not much more you can ask other than what the defense did today. Now the offense, they got some work to do. They got injuries. It's going to happen. You gotta work through that. You gotta fight through the injuries. They went up against a very talented defense today in the Tennessee Titans. Very athletic defense. Very fast. You're gonna see that almost every game. The NFL is not easy. It's not easy to win in this league. It's not. And to go on the road, face the adversity that they did in the first three quarters, you know, show that they're not gonna hang their head. Got smacked in the mouth a couple times. Show that they're not going to hang their head and just tuck their tail and run. They came out in the fourth quarter and took it to the Titans. offensively. Show that they're not going to just lay down and take this loss and go back to Buffalo and lick their wounds. They're not. It's a good road win. Tough, gritty road win by the Buffalo Bills. And next week, it's going to be even tougher. Even though it's a home game, it's the Cincinnati Bengals coming in. They're 5-0. They look very good on offense, just like the kid said. They are very good offensively. And they're almost just as good defensively. So you Bills fans that just talk nothing but negativity about the Bills, you nitpick this and that. All you guys do is look at the stats. You got to look deeper. You got to be smarter. And look what this defense can do. Look at their potential. Look at their ability to contain, to hold a defense down. To hold an offense down. Look at what they can do. This defense can be special if they continue to play this way. They continue to play this way, it's going to be a special team. It's going to be a special defense. Then the offense has to come around. It's going to. Once they get their guys back that were injured, Shady's going to be back in a couple weeks. We're going to have Watkins back next week. I think they held him out this week. I think he could have played, but they held him out another week just to be safe. Play against a better team in the Bengals next week. All right, guys. This was fun tonight. It was a great time. I appreciate the fans coming on from Marbeth Court in South Buffalo. I appreciate them coming on. Thank you very much to Brandon the Kid Friedman for coming on. He's got a lot of insight, got a lot of knowledge, knows what he's talking about. And we'll see you again, guys. Bengals next week. I'll be on tomorrow night for an hour for Monday Night Quarterback here with G Money. Hope to hear from you. And once again, we got the Buffalo Water Cooler. Love you guys. Love all the fans. Thank you so much. Bills 14, Titans 13. Bills are 3-2. Looking at the Bengals next week, the big game. Big time game. All right, guys. Thank you for coming on. Everybody stay safe. Go Bills. And we'll see you guys on the flip side. Thank you so much. Good night.